I think the biggest challenge for me was to let go about how are you going to build it. You used to be on the details. It's super important for you to understand the code base and the architecture and whatnot. And when you're shifting into a product, even though you are technical by profession, the ability to let go and focus on the value proposition, go to market, metrics, what are we building, defining it, I think that is the most difficult part for product manager coming from a technical positions and a technical background.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Tech Selfcast with me, your host, James Hounslow. And today I'm super excited. We have another amazing founder from Israel on the show, Roei Krieger. How are you doing, Roei?
How are you doing, James?
Good. Roei, it's really great to have you on the show. You are co-founder and CEO of Metis, early stage startup. You're nearly 3 years into the journey. But we've got lots to unpack on that 3 years. But as a way of getting started, it'd be great if you could give the viewers just a bit of a background as to who you are.
So thank you, James. My name is Roei. As you mentioned, I'm the co-founder and CEO of Metis. I'm basically born in Israel, married, have one baby girl, live near Tel Aviv. I have engineering background, spent like almost 10 years engineering and engineering management roles, then switched to a more of a product leadership roles. I was a VP product at several Israeli famous tech companies. And now I'm the co-founder and CEO of Metis, as you just mentioned, helping developers and platform engineering basically own their database and working with databases in general.
So what made you move from engineering into product?
So the one sentence, the one liner is that product do not complain.
Yeah.
That's what I used to tell my friends when I decided to move into product. But to be honest, even when I was in engineering roles, my entire passion, and I always found myself very interested on like, why are we building? What are we building? And what's the value proposition and what our customers are interested in? I always find myself as the person that hop on customer calls, sales calls and whatnot. And basically, it was really my passion to build products. I was very interested in the holistic view of the product and not just like the engineering challenges of building a product.
And how did you find your world change when you moved into product over development engineering side?
So since I was very passionate about building a product and building products, and I was part of teams building somewhat of a successful product, depends on the companies I worked at. So it was really like a smooth transition, of course. I think the biggest challenge for me was to let go about how are you going to build it.
Yeah.
You used to be on the details. It's super important for you to understand the code base and the architecture and whatnot. And when you're shifting into a product, even though you are technical by profession, the ability to let go and focus on the value proposition, go to market, metrics, what are we building, defining it. I think that is the most difficult part for product manager coming from a technical positions and have a technical background.
Yeah, yeah. In Tel Aviv, Israel, there are a lot of startups. It's a great culture. It's a great ecosystem. Founders are getting younger and younger. You waited a little while. When did you decide that you wanted to start your own business? Was that something that was always on the cards, or did it arrive later on?
So I think, like, for me personally, I was always entrepreneur in mindset. Okay. So you have many types of entrepreneurship, right? You can have social entrepreneur, you can be, you know, like in company entrepreneur. Like my entire career, I built products. I came to companies in order to build operation, build a new product lines and things of those natures. So for me, it's more of like solving problems and the challenges that comes with that. I really like challenges. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I decided to build a company. I just had a problem I wanted to solve. It used to be that I had a chance to solve problems within the companies. And now it turned out to be that I can solve it like as an entrepreneur. It's about solving the problems and helping have something in each that you want to scratch. And it's for me, it's not like deciding. I didn't go through like the Asian process and thinking, oh, I want to build a company. So let's think, what kind of problem do I want to solve? The problem was there and I decided I want to solve it.
So how does that work? And we'll come on to going from being a product person to founding a company. But there is, I totally agree with you. You can be very entrepreneurial inside an organization when you're given the freedom to build and create. But it's a much safer house than solving a problem for a startup. And that's where sometimes you can say that the entrepreneurship inside a large organization is less risky. And if you're risk averse, it's a good way to get to. So at what point did you have the urge to say, I want to take this outside of it? Was it you wanted to solve a problem that you couldn't solve within an organization? The only way you could solve it was going outside of that safety blanket, as it were.
Yeah. So for me, I never thought about maybe the way I was reasoning, or I don't know why, but for me, I never think about like the risks.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's about the journey. So if I had the opportunity like to build within the company, I'd take it. Specifically with Mattis, I met my co-founder, and we both had a passion about databases and really want to solve databases and developers junction, if you will. So it wasn't about, I'm afraid, is this the right time to take risks? I never think about the risk factor in that sense. And if you're talking about like income and the ability to take risk financially, so for me at least, like we live, I think, a pretty frugal life. So
yeah.
It was never about the money or the opportunity lost in terms of income and things of those nature.
We'll come into to more detail around who Mattis are and what you're doing. What I'd love to understand from you now is you've gone on this journey from an engineer to product, building solutions to help people to starting a business where in the early days, it's probably very similar to where you were before, getting this product, trying to find a way of the technology idea that you have to solve a problem. Nearly 3 years in, you're also a CEO. How have you adapted to the challenges of being a business leader over, and I say just being a product person, it's very different to being a product manager to being a CEO. How have you adapted? What have you found the hardest to adapt to?
I think like the hardest part is to know, for me personally, is to know at each stage of the company where to focus. Like as a CEO, you have to be, that's the way I perceive it at least, at the place where you bring the most value to the company. And it's like transition and changes over time. Like at the beginning, you are more focused on building, on recruiting the right people, building culture. And then you have to understand when is the right time to diverge and focus, for example, more on marketing and when to do go to market and how to do sales, things that you didn't do hands-on. You were part of the process of the sales cycle in previous roles, but you really didn't do hands-on sales. What is it? How to do a sales call? How to build a sales deck?
Yeah.
The right go-to-market. And at least like now I understand why, a good friend of mine told me that first-time entrepreneur is focusing on building the product, right? Second-time entrepreneur is focusing on the distribution.
Yeah.
So like, now I understand what it means, like that the first thing you have to think about, okay, you have the product, even if you don't have it, how are you going to win the market? How are you going to get to your customers? And this is like the most difficult part, I think, for me as a first-time CEO, thinking from a distribution mindset and not from a product and feature mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great that you've got the mentors around you to help you understand that and try and get that mindset focus in you. Because it is when you're doing it for the first time, you've got this idea, you go in full build mode, don't you? And then before you know it, the 3 years have probably gone past in the blink of an eye. So there's some challenges. What have you enjoyed? What part of being a CEO have you really enjoyed and relished?
Like I think for me, it didn't change like much from being like within the companies. It is the building phase.
Yeah.
I many times I ask myself how good of a CEO I would be when we will be like 1,000 people company. Like for me, building the team, building the product, building the go-to-market, seeing it succeed. For me, that's the thing I enjoy the most, the 0 to 1. Yeah. Then how will I be as a 1 to 100 CEO?
The companies change and you become local and then you become international and you've got all the different cultures that come together and you'll have the different challenges around that. We'll come on to what the future looks for you guys. But we've reached the point where we get to flip round and you get to ask me the one question you've always wanted to ask a recruiter. So don't waste this opportunity to put me on the spot.
So my wife is a VP HR. So she started with recruiting and she moved to more roles. And I always used to ask her, why did you do it? Like, why did you choose to be a recruiter? I think it's one of the hardest jobs to do. And so I guess my question is why? Why did you choose to take such a hard position?
Great question. This is one question I've actually never been asked before. Recruitment was something that I fell into, is the honest answer behind that. I used to sell cars. So I was a BMW salesperson and I wanted to find an opportunity in sales where I could earn. The harder I worked, the more money I earned. And selling cars, there was a cap because you had to deliver cars. So you could sell so many cars, then you had to deliver them. And there was a pit. It was about 2 to 3 hours you had to spend delivering a car back then. This was 20 odd years ago. And so there was only a limited amount of time that you could do it. And recruitment gave me that opportunity where the harder you worked, the more money you got, basically. So that's how I got into recruitment. And then once I arrived 20 years ago, it was just like, it was amazing. I really enjoyed it. You got both people. It's like, I often got asked what it was like in compared to selling a product, a car. And I often say to people, it's like customers come in with an idea of what car they want. Whether it needs X amount of doors, it needs to be a certain color, it needs to go a certain speed. And you either have a used car that matched that or a new car that you build. And I said, then imagine once you've got that, you've found them the car they want and they like and the right price, you've then got to convince the car to go with them and sell the dream of why it's the right family and such like. And I said, just imagine the product's got their own feelings and emotions. And that's where we're at, and having to get two feelings and emotions mapped together in the right way that I've really enjoyed. So yeah, that's how, my honest answer, that is how I got into it, knowing that there was an opportunity to do, like, the harder I worked, the more I got out of it. And that's why I got into it, really enjoyed it. And it gave me the opportunity to do what I do today.
Cool.
I know you've got a busy day, but before we let you go, tell us all about Metis, who you are, what problem do you solve, and what does the next 18 months look like for you guys?
So basically, the entire notion of Metis stemmed from the huge shift that happened in the market. And, you know, it's very important to understand that before, like, I'll tell the value prop, is that the major thing that happened, we call it the third wave of industrial revolution, is like the cloud, right? So everybody... Yeah. Switch to the cloud, switching to the cloud, more and more enterprises, Fortune 500 companies switching to the cloud. So the cloud, basically what it allows you is elasticity. Basically, it used to be in a world where like every engine you decided to put in your production environment was a really strategic decision, right? But now with a click of a button, you can have whatever like servers that you want, whatever databases you have. So company found themselves with many varieties of database. Even us as a startup company, right? We have like at least 3 or 4 flavors of databases, SQL, NoSQL, document, and so forth. So that's the first thing that happened. And the second thing is basically the shift towards the developers. It used to be developer only writing code, but the entire shift left movement where developers are writing code, are QAing, testing it, deploying it, and responsible for the entire troubleshooting. So basically, now you find yourself like the engineering team have responsibility of their service end to end, right? And you basically want to help them also own their like service databases from the standpoint that developers are not mastering the database world. They're not supposed to, but still they are responsible, the engineer. So basically, Matix is a continuous reliability database guardrails. We are integrating into the GitOps of cycle of the developer, the entire SDLC, and we are escorting the developer from the moment he writes code, and we are telling him how his code is going to perform in terms of the database aspect of it. And later on, we are continuously monitoring the production environment, detecting drift, telling him what is the problem, why is it a problem, and more importantly, how to solve it. So basically, Metis empower developers to be a database pros in minutes, right?
Yeah.
That's our entire notion.
Metis. Love it. And so who are you selling to, ideally, within organizations? Who do you talk to buy this product? And how are you looking to grow in the next 18 months?
Yeah, so funny enough, we started like with talking to engineering teams, and engineering teams loved us. But we found that as you grow, you go a bit of upmarket to a mid-market plus companies, you have to go through the platform and DevOps teams. So basically, we have two stakeholders that need to buy in. It's the engineering team and it's the platform and DevOps. So usually we are going after the DevOps and engineering team. They really want to empower developers to own services and have self-service abilities. And they're like putting us into production and then onboarding the engineering teams to use Metis as an engineering tool in general.
Love it. So where does it go from here? You've built the early foundations of a business. It's still in its critical early stages. I know you'll have many sleepless nights with lots of things going around in your mind of what you need to do. But what does the next 18 months look like for you guys? Are you going to be going for more funding? Is it about establishing product? Is it about winning new logos?
So all of the above. Like basically, yeah. You have to win logos in order to go to funding. So basically, we started our go-to-market. We have quite very nice traction in our website. Our PLG motion started to work. And basically, now we're trying like to go after selling and getting revenue and logos and whatnot. And of course, like once we'll do that, funding will follow naturally.
Love it. Rory, I really appreciate you taking time out to come and share with us this early part of the journey. I think you guys are building something fantastic, and it's going to be great to watch you guys move forward from here.
Thank you, James.